There we go. Okay, I'll just jump right in. So I was having a thought to myself the other day, which I do a lot, and I heard someone say something that really struck me, so I thought I would share it this morning. They said, we live our life and we talk about happiness. I'm going to be happy when I go on my vacation. When we get back, when our family gets back, we're going to be happy. When I get that promotion at job, I'm going to be so happy. When we get moved into that new house, we're going to find so much happiness. And what I realized that when I heard that the other day is that many people treat happiness like a destination that they're going to reach someday. And that really struck a chord in me. And I had to think about that for a little bit. I have a friend by the name of Mo Anderson. She used to be the CEO of Keller Williams Realty. And she wrote a book that is absolutely amazing. And I'm going to share just a few things from this book with you. And maybe you'll take the time to pick the book up. But the book is called A Joy-Filled Life by Mo Anderson, Lessons from a Tenant Farmer's Daughter Who Became a CEO. So Mo Anderson grew up very poor in Oklahoma, and her father was a tenant farmer, and he farmed land that he leased, and a third of what he made every year in crops went to pay for the farm that they lived on every year. And she took lessons from her life as a tenant farmer's daughter and wrote a book about having a joyful life, not a happy life, about finding the little things and the lessons in life and how we turn those into a life of abundance and of gratitude and of happiness. And so I just wanted to share a few things out of this book called A Joy-Filled Life. So her first chapter in this book, she calls Be Thankful for Your Foundation. Be thankful from where you come from. Find a quiet spot, get comfortable, and think about where you come from. What made you? Who made you? Why do we behave and do the things that we do? Be thankful for your foundation. And she said, I am filled with appreciation as I reflect upon my parents, who they were, what they did, and the lessons they taught me. I long for them to have the opportunity to see the results of their lessons in my life as I am nearing my final chapters. And so she talks about, where she came from, how her father farmed, how they didn't have clothes to wear to school, how her mother made all of her clothes. But every night they had dinner together at the dinner table. And every night they talked about the good things that happened in their day, and they shared their joy with each other. Do you know your, she asked these posing questions. Do you know your history? Record your memories, because when we get older, we forget them, or we might forget how they happened. Your foundation makes you who you are. What are your foundational values? What are your core values? What do you believe in? Cherish your parents while they are living. It's all too soon they are gone. Call your parents and speak to them. She talks about following your dreams. To have a joy-filled life, you have to follow your dreams. Do you know how to dream? Do you take the time to dream? Did you dream about what your wedding might look like someday? Did you dream about the first love of your life? Did you dream about that first job, right? Did you dream about the career that you wanted to do? Did someone teach you how to sit and dream, right? Did people celebrate your dreams when you achieved them? Again, dreaming helps you build a joy-filled life. God's put dreams into everyone's DNA, she says. Find your dreams. If you don't have one, ask God to reveal a dream to you. Be willing to connect your dreams to your life and be willing to live them. Don't listen to dream bullies. Don't let them discourage you. Never, never give up on your dreams. Find your voice in life. What does it mean to find your voice? We each have a voice and it's unique to us. We have to find it. Doesn't matter when we find it. It only matters that we keep trying to find it. So kind of like practicing your scripts, right? The first few times you practice the script doesn't sound so good. It kind of tastes clunky in your mouth and maybe doesn't come out quite as easily as it needs to, right? Hey, do you ever look at additional ways to earn income? It's just a script. It's just like finding your voice.
It's just a script waiting for you to write it, waiting for you to speak it into truth, waiting for you to breathe life into it, right? Do the right thing. And this is chapter 4 in her book, and I really wanted to share this story with you because I just think this is a great story. She was poor. She was raised poor. And she got a job as a music teacher because music was her passion, and she wanted to be a music teacher. So Mo Anderson got a job being a music teacher. And her husband, Richard, always talked her into doing the things that she dreamed about. And she dreamed about getting a real estate license. And so she got a real estate license, and she wasn't doing very well at it. So I'm going to read you this passage in this book because I think it's really profound. And I think we could even see this show up in our business of ACN, right? And it's doing the right thing. She says, in 1974, Conoco wanted to transfer Richard to Houston, Texas. But we were caring for our elderly parents and did not want to move out of the state. My parents had worked so hard to provide me with special opportunities, and it was important to me to do the right thing by them, and they needed assistance instead. So Richard accepted a job at the University of Oklahoma Science Center, and that's how we ended up at Edmond. I would later, the move really marked the beginning of my real estate career. Leaving the teaching profession was incredibly painful. However, the need for more income had taken top priority to balance the pay cut that Richard had taken to accept to offset my college debts and to help support our parents. My career as a real estate agent did not have a very good beginning. I want you to listen to this, guys, because a lot of times we'll start a new career and we don't do real well at it, and we don't succeed at the level that we think we're supposed to. So she says, my career as a real estate agent did not have a very good beginning. In fact, I had a very difficult time starting out. In January of 74, I affiliated with Bob Turner Realtors in Edmond. Months went by with no success, no closings, and no money. I became so frustrated and discouraged that I decided to give up on the real estate idea and enroll at the University of Central Oklahoma to get a master's degree in education. On August 1st, I had just one listing. So I began to pray, and my prayers went something like this. I want you to listen and see if any of you have ever said this. God, I'm miserable. This isn't working. Real estate can't possibly be your will for me. I'm not making any money. I cry every night, and my family is sick of me. So here's the deal, God. I want 3 solid transactions by the end of August, or I'm out of here. I knew that was pretty audacious of me and not very respectful, but I was serious. If this didn't happen, I'd quit real estate and go back into the field of education. Weeks passed with no transactions, and I was giving up hope. Then, lo and behold, on August 27th, my only listing finally sold. A glimmer of hope, I said. On August 28th, I met a couple who wanted to buy a home, and they found one right away. Now I had 2 solid deals, and hope was beginning to rise in my heart. You know that feeling when we get a little hope in there? However, August 29th came and August 30th came and went, and when August 31 arrived, I was so discouraged again and mad at God. So I did what women do when they're frustrated. I put on my blue jeans and I vacuumed the house. While I worked off my disappointments, I said, God, how could you give me 2 transactions but not a third? Don't you see that time is running out? At 10 o'clock on that morning of August 31st, I received a call from my office informing me that a couple wanted to look at a home. I went with them, and at the second house, we saw the magic happen. I could tell they really loved this particular home. You can always tell because people start mentally moving in. They discussed where the furniture would go, what bedrooms the children would take, and I was fairly certain that this deal was a done deal. And I noticed the couple had stepped to the corner of the front yard where they were in a very deep conversation. I had a very uneasy feeling. Finally, they walked back to me and my husband. The husband said to me, Mo, we really would like to buy this house from you. But to be fair, we have to purchase the home through Lily Mae Tillman. And I've heard her say this story 5 or 10 times at least, and she said, Lily Mae Tillman? She's the agent we've been dealing with for 2 weeks. She's driven us around. She's bought our meals. Our children have even spilled ice cream in her car. We would feel really badly if we didn't buy the house with Lily Mae. I nearly lost it on the spot. I'd come so close. I went home in tears, feeling like a complete failure. I had never failed at anything in my life. So this was new emotional territory for me. It was the lowest moment in my business life. At 7:30 that evening, my phone rang. It was the couple I'd been with earlier that day. Mo, they said excitedly, we spoke to Lily Mae Tillman, and she told us to do the right thing and purchase the home with you. I was elated. God had blessed me with all three transactions by the end of August. But this last one came because a woman by the name of Lily Mae Tillman encouraged someone to do the right thing. She could have kept the sale and the commission for herself, but instead she told them to deal with me. In the next 6 months, I accomplished 35 sales and, needless to say, did not go to graduate school. So I'm going to stop with the story right there, but my message is do the right thing. Do you ever get someone that walks across you and, yeah, you can take the business, but it's really not your business to take, right? So she sent it back. And by sending it back, she was blessed. And this happened 50 years ago, 60 years ago. But here's the message in that story. Because Lily Mae Tillman did the right thing, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of lives were changed by one Mo Anderson, who became the CEO of Keller Williams Realty, who took a company out of South Texas that had a very unique business model and was told by everybody this will never work. And today they're the largest real estate company in the world. And because of Mo Anderson, I have a joy-filled life, because she personally has poured into me for the last 25 years as a mentor and a teacher and a trainer. So I ask you, are you living a happy life? And is happiness a destination, somewhere you want to end up someday? Or are you finding the little things to be joyful about and living a joy-filled life on a daily basis? I hope everybody enjoyed this today. I am sorry about my debauchery and being a little bit late. And have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless you all. Bye-bye.